Thank you, and you may be seated. Meg, great job. Oh, God, I look to you. Did you notice the number one fan you had coming up? Your daughter was making a beeline up here. Good catch, Dad. But she needs your attention, so go back and give her a hug. Janet Earls, can you come up here? I'm going to put you on the spot for just a moment. I'll give you a microphone. It's good. I saw in the bulletin that you're going to be leading a new class. It's here, right here. Fresh Expressions, a new kind of Methodist church for people not in church. Tell us about that, because that's very different than what we normally see in the bulletin. And I really recommend this to you because this is so important that we don't just minister to people that are here on Sunday morning. It's a whole lot of people don't know much about God's love and God's desire to be connected to them. So tell us about Fresh Expressions and what you're going to be doing.
Thank you. Well, this is to learn about Fresh Expressions, what it is and why we would want to do this. So it's not a Fresh Expression that we'll be doing in the group, but through this, excuse me, got that holiday lovely stuff that's going around, that you will learn perhaps a way you might want to start your own Fresh Expression, or that you might support in some way or pray for Fresh Expression. So it's about meeting new people in new places in new ways. And we have almost 100 Fresh Expressions all over the Florida Conference, and our goal is to have 500 all over the state of Florida. So we understand that church is going to be different in the future. And so we have to explore and try to be the trailblazers to make sure that our Wesleyan way and that we're reaching people. Because if we keep just doing what we're doing, it's not going to happen. And so come explore, find out what it's about, and we're going to have fun along the way too.
Janet, tell us a little bit about some of these different forms of Fresh Expressions. What are some churches doing?
Well, Fresh Expressions can be led by anybody, first of all. They can be led by a pastor that just has an entrepreneurial spirit and likes to go out and reach people. It could be a layperson that has a strong interest, like art. Art as a Fresh Expression is a wonderful way to meet people in the art community. It could be a hobby that you take to another level. If someone enjoys kayaking, there's a wonderful kayaking Fresh Expression in Jacksonville, Florida, and a couple other places too, but the biggest is in Jacksonville, led by Jeff St. Clair, a pastor there. What's interesting is he tells the church, you can't come. Yeah.
So Fresh Expressions is not for us.
It's not to relocate the chairs. It's not to bring you all here in this room to another place, another day, another time. It's to meet people in their places where they like to be. We all have our home place where we are. We have either work or school or something like that. And our third place, where do you spend the next most amount of your time? It might be with a special interest of some kind, but that's where we want to start meeting people and talking about Christ and bringing Christ into our conversations. There's a great one called Dinner Church that is exploding all over, and it's having these dinner churches in places. For instance, one of our largest is in Cape Coral, Florida, and they started in a mobile home park, our second largest mobile home park in the United States. And they have a dinner, and they have conversation. Well, this became so much church for them. Conversation, they have worship, and they share the word. People began to call that their church. They've done a baptism there, they've done a wedding there, they've done a funeral there. That is their church. So it's just trying to form new kinds of church in new places, and we have to think outside the church box. We have to think differently moving forward. So those are some quick examples.
It's taking this relationship out of the church to places where people are, and finding some affinity where we can connect. It could be music, it could be art, it could be a need, it could be an established community or a crafting idea, or maybe they all live in the same neighborhood.
Comic book store.
It could be where people work. It could be some of your coworkers.
Yes.
But it's led by these people, right?
Yes.
It could be the pastors, but it's led by the people of the church. In other words, is God calling you to think about a different expression, a fresh expression of sharing his love and grace? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to what she said. Think about the gifts and talents you have, and is God calling you to do that? It could be a small group. It could be a large group. It doesn't have to be 50 people.
No, in fact, it's better that they're not. You want to keep them small so that you can have conversations. Yeah.
So if you are called to think about this, to pray about it, see Janet and join her for this Fresh Expressions group. And Janet, thank you for your willingness to share that with us. Very grateful. We appreciate leaders. We so much are so grateful for leaders. But here's what I've learned, that really great leaders are difficult to find. Several years ago, now we may think we're a great leader. You know, sometimes we like to see ourselves that way. I'm doing great stuff. Several years ago, one of my favorite stories came out. It's a true story of the United Methodist Bishop, Al C. Carlton. Bishop Carlton was in a very serious automobile accident. And when he was recovering, he finally got home out of the hospital, the rehab center, and his wife got a phone call. Now, he could overhear this conversation. And not only could he overhear it, but his wife knew he could hear the conversation. And I think part of why she was letting him hear is that there was a message in that. But the caller eventually said, "Well, I hope he's just great now." And his wife said, "Well, I would never say that he was great. He's just back to where he was." I think it would be easy for a bishop to think he's great because he's achieved that high status in the church. But you could do that in your business, in your home. It could be in the church. It's easy to think ourselves as great. But the question is, are we self-defining, or is there something that's leading us to greatness? Truth is, great leaders are hard to find. But you know them when you see them. And it's not simply the position they hold. It's something about their character and who they are. I remember the story of Aaron Feuerstein. Now, Aaron, at the time this happened, was 70 years old, Orthodox Jew. He was a very faithful Jewish man, and he owned a textile mill in Methuen, Massachusetts. His grandfather had founded the mill years ago, and Aaron took over, and then they had this disaster. The mill caught fire. It destroyed the whole thing. And the problem was, in this little town, they employed 1,400 people. In other words, it was the major industry in this town. It was right before Christmas, and people were distraught because they knew what would happen is they would lose their jobs. The mill, if it was rebuilt, would probably be built in another country. But Aaron, who I believe is a great leader, did something very different. He gathered all his employees, and he said, "Here's the deal. We're going to rebuild the mill here. We're not going to move it somewhere else. Second of all, I'm going to pay all of you your regular salary until we get the production lines going back up. So nobody's going to be without a paycheck." Can you imagine? And then he said, "And there are Christmas bonuses." That's a great leader. Because he restored hope and faith in a town that felt crippled, destroyed. So it's the last Sunday of 2017. I thought a lot about what I'd want to say to you as we're getting ready to enter a new year. And I believe this about leadership. Any of you have heard me talk about social covenant, which is a value system we use to help shape our behavior? You've heard me say that we are all leaders. You know, in different settings. We may not be in this setting, but we might be this one. It can be in your home. Even a parent is a leader. It could be in your workplace. It could be the whole business or just a section. It could be in the school as a student or maybe as a teacher. It could be in the church or in the community. There are many places where we can lead, but at some point, we're all leaders. But what makes us a great leader? So as I was looking at this, I thought, well, let's compare leadership styles. And today's text was perfect for that. It's found in Matthew chapter 2. Now, you remember the story that when Jesus is born, eventually some wise men, some magi, came to see him. They said, "We saw a star rising in the east, and we came to pay him homage, to worship him." And they sought out Herod, the king of Israel at that time, to ask, "Where do we find him, this one who's born king of the Jews?" Now think about this. They go see the king and they say, where's the new king? That can provoke some strong feelings. You know, we saw this star. Herod's thinking, I didn't have a star. Nobody came to worship me. But here's where it picks up. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, the angel said to him. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. It's a pretty strong reaction. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. But Herod was furious. He's not just upset. He is furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. Now, you know what that means is that they saw something malevolent in Herod, so they went home a different way. They didn't go back to Herod and say, we found him, you know, because they did find him. They said, let's do everything we can to avoid this guy. He is crazy. So they went home a different way. Herod, though, is furious. So here's his reaction. I've read this story. I've heard it since I was a child. But I just was brought to tears this week as I was thinking about this. What is wrong with somebody who lives this way? He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. He did that based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Matthew says Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. This is heartbreaking. This man is so paranoid that he kills children to avoid any threat. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler in Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. I guess you could turn in the Gospels and look for models of leadership. Herod, King Herod, might be one you would look at. He was called Herod the Great. But don't let that title mislead you. When you go to Israel, you'll see that he was prolific in his building, massive projects. I mean, he built the temple, the one that the Romans destroyed in 70 AD, aqueducts, massive cities, seaports. There's a lot of stuff that he did, but he was also paranoid. He was the king of a small territory consisting of three regions called Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Now, he inherited the throne from his father. His father had been appointed by the Romans to keep a tight rein on these, as the Romans described them, these contentious people called the Jews. Herod was a petty tyrant, a petty man. He was about, they guess, 73 years of age when the news came to him of an impending birth of the king of the Jews. Three astrologers, or magi we call them, came from the east. They came to his court to see what they might learn about this mysterious star that had appeared to them, the one they had been following. And as soon as they tell him this, he flies into a rage. That rage results in the slaughter of all the boys in Bethlehem in the vicinity 2 years and under. Herod was insecure. He was a rigid, intolerant man. Herod only knew to rule by force. Today, we would call him a bully. A dictator, a man with an iron hand. And he is not healthy. They estimate that Herod in his lifetime had 5,000 people put to death, including some of his own children and closest relatives. He was malevolent in many ways. There are leaders like that in the world today, though. Some of them lead nations. Some of them lead businesses. Some of them lead churches. Some of them lead families. It's the only way they know how to lead, by abusing others. They like to make sure that everybody else will abide by their rules, no matter how petty those rules may be. Their own insecurity feeds their abuse. And that was Herod. Way too much authority and way too much insecurity with himself, too much distrust of others. I don't know, maybe you've had a Herod in your own experience. You've worked with somebody like that or known somebody like that. But we could say that's one style of leadership, the style that is insecure, intolerant, inflexible, dictatorial. I read this story and I thought, you know, some people have a picture of God like that. God is a God whom they live in constant fear of offending. A God whose disapproval is deadly, whose punishment is swift. A God who's without mercy. But that's why the gospel is so important and why we need to hear all of the stories. Because if you read, you understand quickly there is another style of leadership. We would call it servant leadership. And that idea really comes from the Gospels and from Paul's writings. Philippians 2 tells us to have the mind among ourselves that was in Christ Jesus, who took on the form of a servant. That's a different style of leadership. Servant leaders identify with the people that they lead. They don't lord it over them. Instead, these are the people who get down with them, to get their hands dirty with them. They are there for the people, not to use the people. You know, I'm asking you these things today to consider leadership, to really ask you, what kind of leader are you? Because you and I have to deal with the other leaders out there. We know that, but this is more of a reflexive sermon. I'm asking you to think about what kind of leader you are, whether it's in your home or your church or your workplace or your school or your community, wherever you're leading at that time. How would people characterize your leadership? If you could draw a line between Herod and Jesus and call that a continuum of leadership, where are you on that line? Are you closer to that insecure side, that tyrannical side, or would you be on the servant leadership side? Example of servant leadership, of course, comes from the life of Jesus, the one Herod tried to kill. Isn't that ironic? He wanted to kill the one who was there to serve. Now, here's what that service leadership looks like. He stepped down from the throne of heaven. Herod was not willing to step down. He wanted to ensure the throne was his. And his hands, rather than becoming the hands that held the scepter of power and ordered people to kill children, his hands, Jesus' hands, became hands of healing. Think about his touching, his embracing, his holding folks. Those are very different hands. He had the hands of teaching. If I read through the Gospels and start hearing again those stories of what he taught, what a different leader. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Well, that's not like Herod. That is very different. Which one do you think the world needs right now? More tyranny? More hatred? More darkness? Or more setting yourself aside for the goodness of all? When I look at Jesus Christ, I see hands that are not clenched in anger, but that are open, scarred with nails. The life of Jesus reveals God. And it is not a God that I have to fear. He's not an insecure dictator, an intolerant tyrant. He is pure, unlimited, unbounded love. This is the God who tells us to love one another as he has loved us. And it's the leadership that I see in Jesus Christ, and the way we are called to lead. I love the definition. A great leader is someone who sets aside their own agenda and embraces the greater agenda of serving others. Let me say that again. A great leader is somebody who sets aside their own agenda and embraces the greater agenda of serving others, which is what Jesus did. What kind of leader are you? If I could follow you around in the different places, and maybe after you've interacted at school, at work, at home, in church, and say, okay, they're gone. What kind of leader are they? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Herod, 10 being Jesus, how would you rank them? What would people say about you? And I think it depends on whether or not you are serving yourself or you're saying, I am here to serve. In 2018, just a few hours away, we are right here on the brink of a new year. And I know what's going to happen. You're going to have chances to lead in 2018. It might be here in this church. It could be with your family, your workplace, or the community. But the opportunity will come. Will you lead in a self-serving way? Or will others see the love of Christ in your leadership? Which is takes us back to where I began. Because something's going to shape who you are. You're going to serve something or someone. Why would it not be Jesus Christ? Let's pray. We see in your life, in your love, in all that you said and did, O Lord, remarkable example of how we are to treat, to love each others, to do so as you loved us. But it is a choice that we have before us. Help us to choose well, to allow your love to flow through us in all that we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So happy New Year. And as you get ready to start this new year, think about what kind of leader you're going to be. In those occasions where you are asked to lead or you have the opportunity, what will people experience from you? The world needs light. It needs kindness. It needs mercy. And you were called by God to be the bearers of that light, to be His servants. In a world where very few are willing to serve. But honestly, that's what makes you a great leader. So go now in peace and go in love. Amen.